Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I want to take a second here to thank everybody who contributed during our fall membership drive. I think we had more than 4,800 listeners pledging, including 1,000 new members to WPR. And you donated nearly $700,000 to fund the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you depend on. So thank you so much. Obviously, we all really appreciate what you've done for us here at WPR. And so we're right back to regular programming, and we're going to take a look at what's going on around Wisconsin today with our guest, Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. He comes by every couple months to talk about what's new in the magazine and what's going on around Wisconsin. We got hickory syrup production going on here in the state and a whole bunch of other fun stories. And I hope you'll join in with your own comments, questions, or experiences. Maybe you've got something going on or you just experienced a kind of a cool thing you'd like to talk about. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Would love to hear from you. And Mike Beno, welcome back.
Hey, Larry, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's always a lot of fun. And as I looked through the magazine, I thought, oh, there are a lot of really fun stories. And of course, you know, I think this is kind of a particular issue that I enjoy seeing because of the photography. Fall is such a beautiful time in Wisconsin, and your readers, through their photos, have really captured a lot.
Well, it's the reason I live up here in Vilas County, I have to say, Larry. The color right now is just glorious here. I'm looking out the window at a blue sky, which makes those colors just pop. I'd say we're about a week behind in color, which puts us right about at peak right now. In this neighborhood up around Manitowish Waters, Presque Isle, the peak is always about the last week in September. It's dragged out just a little bit longer. I heard a piece on public radio a while back saying that may have to do with the warm weather heading into this, but it's beautiful now. I was out grouse hunting this weekend. The musky fishermen are out, and it's a glorious time to be out in Wisconsin.
I would certainly agree with you on that. And just for those who don't know about Our Wisconsin magazine, give us a little thumbnail sketch.
You bet. About 4 years ago now, 2013, we're just coming to the end of our fourth year of publishing. I had been retired up here in far northern Wisconsin, and I flunked retirement miserably. Truth be told, I kind of missed the old Wisconsin Trails magazine, which was published for 52 years and was about at the end of its run. And what I missed most was the kinds of stories from the early days there, which were really people-based. And Wisconsin is such a wonderful well of stories. It's endless. It's inexhaustible, especially stories tied to the people here, that I thought, why not do a magazine that allows people from all corners of the state, invites them to share their own stories in their own words, because when you do it that way, an editor could sit here trying to cook up story ideas all day long, and that's fine, but you never get the heart in the stories. You never get the realism. You never get the honest feeling that you do when people send in their own stories, share them, and really surprise you sometimes with some things. You mentioned a little while back a subject of a story, and I won't push that topic right now. I'll let you bring it up. But there are some surprising things that people all across the state share, and we're here to give voice to those stories in this reader-written magazine. 4 years into it now, and it seems to be working.
Years back, I so always looked forward to Howard Mead visiting the show from Wisconsin Trails magazine, and so it's great that you've kind of sort of recreated that magazine in part. So it's a little different, but
it's
Mike,
a,
it's
It's a little different. It's a more of a homespun format, I would call it, more down home, not quite so essayish. Mm-hmm. But that's two different styles, and Howard's style worked for many, many years. Yeah. And I spoke with him at length before we even attempted this. So he's great. He shared his wisdom, and now I'm just taking it. We're taking it in a slightly different direction.
Well, I tell you what, I mentioned the hickory syrup. We've got maple syrup, but I'm not sure everybody knows about hickory syrup, and it's made in a different way, and the it's a really unique story about what's going on.
It really is. And a year ago, coincidentally, I heard from two different individuals about this subject. An old hunting friend, Bob Wilson, out of Wisconsin Rapids, wrote me a note and said, "You really need to find out about this family, the Sherwinskys of Waupaca, who make hickory syrup, not maple syrup, hickory syrup." Then I heard from Ann Hatties, our Waukesha County field editor, and we have volunteer field editors, one in just all 72 counties in the state. We may be one or two shy at this point. She said, "What do you know about hickory syrup, Mike? Here's a story." Well, she found somebody from Princeton, Mike Starshack, who is a career financial planner, but he got interested in shagbark hickory trees, and he founded the Wisconsin Hickory Association, and that's something to really just preserve the tradition and culture surrounding this ancient natural food. Native Americans in the state of Wisconsin, there's evidence they were harvesting and cracking and using hickory nuts 8,000 years ago. And the foodies love them because these nuts are, while pecans and walnuts and others are commercially harvested, you rarely find hickory nuts, hickory nut meats sold commercially because they're just a devil to get out of the shell. Anybody who's
yes,
cracked
they
them,
are.
Yes, you have to use a pen. So, undeterred, Mike started this Hickory Association, and he's working. It's a nonprofit, and he's working to try to find ways to help maybe bring more of these to market. But the idea behind the syrup is now we all know. Maple syrup in Wisconsin comes from tapping maple trees and boiling it down to its sugary essence. This is made differently.
It sure is.
Shagbark hickory drops its bark, and so they collect the bark, they scrub the bark, they bake it, toast it in ovens. Then it's boiled. It's boiled. I'm not sure exactly how long it's boiled, but it's boiled to create a tea, if you will. And that is added some pure cane sugar, and they work with a maple hydrometer to get it to the consistency of common syrups. And so it's now showing up commercially in the state. The company I just talked about from the Sherwinskys in Waupaca is a Smoky Valley hickory. But I got hungry reading this story because...
yeah.
Mike Starshack has a hickory feast, and they're going to, October 22nd at the Vines and Rushes restaurant in Ripon, they're going to have the second annual hickory feast. Now, last year, they had a mixed green salad with caramelized hickory nuts and hickory-infused dressing, hickory smoked pork loin with hickory barbecued glaze, a Native American yellow squash soup with some hickory and some hickory syrup glazed carrots. And grand finale is a hickory nut cake, old-fashioned, with some ice cream and Wisconsin hickory fudge. Now I'm getting hungry. And you can find out about the next one if you visit Wisconsin Hickory's website, wihickory.org.
It's a great story. Judy Anu Berlin has something for us about probably another great story. Judy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Good to talk to you again. I just want to put a plug in for the China Lights, which is on exhibit at the Berner Botanical Gardens in Hales Corners through the month of October. I went last night, and it's absolutely fantastic. fantastic. It's magical. It's something for the whole family. I think the kids would absolutely love it. This is the fifth stop on the United States leg of the tour and the first in the Midwest. There's over 40 displays. The construction and installation process requires 5 weeks of nonstop work by over 30 artisans. The components are created from welded metal frames with colorful silk fabric applied and then internally lighted with LED lighting. It's absolutely stunning. And it goes from, let's see.
Till the end of the month, isn't it?
Yeah, for this month, and it's like from 5:30 to 10 every night. And my daughter and I went and we walked through it kind of at twilight, and then we walked through it again after dark, and it's just, it's
beautiful.
I think everybody in southeast Wisconsin should take advantage of this because we're very fortunate to have it in our neighborhood.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison does the same, and I don't know, Mike, if you've ever been a part of one of these light shows in these gardens, but it's fantastic.
I haven't been to one of the light shows, but Judy's talking about Berner Botanical Gardens. We've had them in the magazine here in the past, and I used to work mere blocks from that place. Everything they do is first class. But, you know, there's a botanical garden up in Green Bay where they do Christmas lights. So here's a shout-out to everybody who works hard to keep these beautiful places going, loaded with plants that you'd never find in my yard.
Judy, thank you so much. Going on the whole rest of the month, I think it's the same, and at Olbrich as well, I think, is running through the month. So really pretty cool.
Great.
Well, we've got another caller up, I believe, with a question about those syrups, and maybe we'll have a chance to get to that, maybe not. You can join in as well with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. There were so many fun stories. I tell you, you know, there was a story and a wonderful photo about a guy from Sugar Camp who carves. Is a wood carver, and we won't have time to talk about it right at this minute, but the photo of a carving that he did on this tree with, I think, eagles in the tree and in a nest is just absolutely unbelievable. And we'll talk about that person and a whole lot more with our guest, Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Take a quick look at the news, weather, and then we'll be back with Mike. You stay with us. Taking a look at the people and places that make Wisconsin great right now here on the Ideas Network, Larry Mueller here, back with Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin, a magazine that's packed with stories and photos and recipes and a whole lot more. And they're all about Wisconsin. The October-November issue is out right now. Fall certainly in the air, so we want to know, where do you see the fall colors, or what's your favorite fall activity or memory? Maybe a story from Wisconsin, Our Wisconsin Magazine, has been of particular interest to you. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Mike, one of the best parts of the state, I think, for me at least at this time of the year, is the Wisconsin Badger football team and the basketball team soon to start. The women's volleyball, it's always a lot of fun. And we hear On Wisconsin, the song, and you've got an article in the magazine that looks into the history of the song, which I thought was really quite interesting, the origins of the song.
Well, Larry, working in Madison as long as you have, and hearing that you've never tired of listening to that song, that's heartening to this old Badger who went to school there, too. On Wisconsin, think about that. You think about the words of the song as it's playing along, but it came very close to being called Minnesota, Minnesota. I know that's heresy. Probably there's going to be someone outside my door here with a pitchfork. But, yes, the song On Wisconsin has a very colorful history, and John Philip Sousa is credited with calling it the finest college melody I've ever heard. Okay. Goes all the way back to 1909 when two roommates, William Purdy and Carl Beck, in Chicago, were noodling over this song. Purdy worked out the music, and Beck added the lyrics, and Purdy was entering a tune in a contest for Minnesota to create a school fight song, a football song, as they said at that time, because I don't think there were a whole lot more organized sports beyond that. So the song made its debut in Camp Randall Stadium, November 13th, 1909. It was one of two, one called the Cardinal March and the other On Wisconsin. I've not heard the former one, but the latter sure has grown in popularity. In 1959, it became recognized as the state song. So it lives on today, even though gloriously, I would say, at this time of year especially, with the Badger Band playing it in Camp Randall and all parts of the state during the off season. There's some rumors persisting, even still back when I went to school there 100 years ago, that Paul McCartney owned the rights or Michael Jackson did. Not true. The song's in the public domain. And we even found a reader recently sent us a note about a song called In Wisconsin. All I can say is that's a Johnny Mathis song done in a gauzy, crooning, very romantic sort of way, but it's nice. And if you're interested in hearing that one, Google In Wisconsin and Johnny Mathis, and I'm sure you'll hear an interesting song there.
Yeah, that's a great story. Tina in Wausau has something for us. Hi, Tina. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to recommend Red Mountain State Park. This time of year, you can either drive directly up to the park for the cost of a daily admission or a state park sticker and explore the many, many hiking trails and vistas from the top of the mountain, or the ski hill. The Granite Peak Ski Hill opens up the one of their chairlifts on weekends. And if you don't mind waiting in line, because it's pretty popular, you can take the chairlift to the top of the mountain and back down again.
That's very cool. And while you're
there
in Wausau, you might stop in at the Lee Yawkey Woodson Art Museum.
Absolutely.
and Mike, you're quite familiar with that area.
Yeah, Rib Mountain. Well, yep. Yeah. Wausau at this time of year with that river valley is just gorgeous. I mean, even if you're on Highway 51 heading north, how it opens up when you're crossing the river. But obviously it's a lot more spectacular, and you see a lot more when you get up on Rib Mountain. And looking at how high that place is, it's kind of amazing when you drive up there. The car, it's not anywhere near as long as you think the trip would have been. The other place is Tim's Hill in Ogama, in southern Price County. Amazingly, Tim's Hill is slightly higher. You wouldn't elevation, even though you wouldn't think that looking at it. But there's a wonderful overlook there and a little restaurant on the bottom, stone's throw. So those are the two highest promontories in the state to get a look. And I agree, Tina, everybody should get out there and catch those views.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, by the way, if you got an event or a site that you want to talk about. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And here I was forgetting what I was talking about before our news break, and that was your story about the guy from Sugar Camp, Carver, who does just fantastic work. The photo in the book of those, eagles in a tree?
Eagles with fish, yes. What Larry's talking about, of course, is the wonderful art of Wisconsin chainsaw carving. Now, some are better than others, and you can find them along the roadside, little bears at stands. There's bears and about any kind of wildlife you can picture and imagine. And some is very good. Some is, It's something to bring home. But there's a lot of it around. We heard about a carver named Nathan Nuskovich from a sugar camp a little bit north of Rhinelander. And Nathan is a chainsaw carver. He specializes in eagles, but he does many, many different kinds of wildlife art as well. He's different in a couple ways. Now, Larry mentioned photos of his eagles, a couple examples. These are on the third hole at the St. Germain Golf Club, located on Highway 70. Where they're different is not only the quality of the carving. There's wood burning going on there. You can see feather patterns. It's all very beautiful. But a lot of people are high on his work, quite literally, because what he will do is come to an area on invitation. He's a commissioned artist. He'll set up scaffolding, usually on alongside a very thick white pine tree, maybe one that broke off and was damaged, and he's got quite a big stick to work in. And what he says is, I take away all the wood that isn't an eagle. He finds the eagle within the heart of this pine tree. He's sculpting everything away from it, so it's part of this trunk that's growing vertically, and he'll add little touches, like he'll build an eagle's nest around the eagle. He will have some fish there that the eagle has brought back to the nest. He's done owls, he's done deer, but we have a photo in there of him standing up on the scaffolding that he's built up there. It takes him a long time to get this set up, and his wife, Erica, is his handy assistant. She's gassing up steel chainsaws and sending tools up to him, and he's taking away the wood. And also, I've seen some of Nathan's work not tied directly into a tree. He works very large. He's an artist, and he creates these sculptures with benches attached to them that qualify as furniture. People with a great big great room take them into his home. Potlicker Sculptures is the name of his company, and you can check him out on Facebook. Potlicker comes from he got a little tongue lashing when he was a mischievous young boy from somebody who was trying not to swear at him and called him a little potlicker, and that's held till age 50. But he was selling food as a traveling salesman on the highway, and little by little, word leaked out about his artistic talent, and he's commissioned artist full time now.
Yeah, it's just an amazing. I haven't played that course, but I would play that course just to see that.
It's right by the Whitetail Inn on Highway 70 near St. Germain.
Yeah, it's quite a story.
Two other places, Larry, where his work is: Main Street downtown Boulder Junction, in front of Solder Builders in the hotel there, and also in front of the Moondance Bar and Grill on Highway 17. These are public places where they're just out there and easy to see.
Dave in Augusta, good to hear from you, Dave. Hi, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. One of my favorite memories of late fall. I've got quite a few of them, as well as other people have, of course. But was when I first introduced my dad to muskie fishing in winter Wisconsin. We ventured out in a little 14-foot boat on Lake Winter, and we got two muskies that day. And we had to break the ice at the boat launch to get the boat in. The ice is only about a quarter inch thick, but it was late October, 1st of November, and my dad had these two big thermoses filled with hot chili and sliced cheese and homemade bread. And let me tell you what, we got two muskies that day. The fall colors were a little bit past peak, but there was nobody else on the lake. And my dad said to me, you know, Dave, this is just like Canada. I thought, you know what, you're right. There's nobody around. And we had excellent muskie fishing.
Yeah.
And the thing I'll never forget is sharing that time with my dad on the shore, having that hot chili. It always comes back to me about this time of year.
Oh, and Lake Winter is a great muskie, and also a bass lake, too. But I've caught a lot of muskie in that lake. I caught and I always had a good time.
Dave, how long does that memory go back?
goes back to probably 1980. Yeah. About 1980, maybe late 70s, early 80s.
So you're pushing yeah. 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's going on 35 anyway, 36 years, and unfortunately, my dad he got sick shortly after that, but and passed away. But it's something that I'll never forget. So,
yeah.
In fact, my son, I took my son Ian, who's now today he's flying back from Seattle to come visit us. But anyway, he's going to go up to the cabin with me in winter.
Mm-hmm.
I did build a cabin there, and it just it brings back a lot of great memories.
Wonderful, durable memories. That was my point about asking how old that goes back. And it doesn't surprise me you treasure that. And I would bet you never had a better meal than what you just described.
No. Thank you so much, Dave. It's always great to hear from you. Appreciate your call. Judy, and I want to give Judy and Fort Atkinson a chance to join in. Judy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking the call. Dave and my husband and I decided after we saw the mom and pop diner in Wisconsin Rapids that we would take a short drive up there Saturday morning. And so we went to Misty's Diner and we were greeted by Misty. It was really a fun morning, long drive for a breakfast, but it was fun. And we had the Cheesehead Ultimate Skillet, which was full of cheese curds and cheese and bratwurst. So it was really fun.
And that was,
it was a beautiful
story.
Day, so on the way home we stopped at Rochecree and went for a hike. And it was a really nice day.
Walk off some of that breakfast.
That's right.
Well, and you write about Misty's.
Misty's menu, I stopped there last fall. We were on our way back up from Prairie du Chien, where we had our field editor's picnic. We stopped at Misty's menu. Wonderful little crossroads diner in Wood County near Wisconsin Rapids. And the story behind it, Misty's menu, when this young lady who owns it was 5 years old, years before, she had a pretend restaurant, and she made a little menu, and she handed it to her mother, Nancy, and the paper menu listed toast for $11 and a steak for 10 cents. So mom saved this sweet little thing from her daughter, and lo and behold, years later, she's married and working in a bank and decides to have a career change, she and her husband, and they bought a restaurant, and they knew what they had to name it, the same thing she named her pretend restaurant, Misty's Menu, when she was 5 years old. The place has won a lot of, it's very friendly, it's won a lot of awards for its food, but the homemade pie is their claim to fame. They make pies in 12 to 15 different varieties, and her husband, Brian, bakes them all. Never baked a pie before this got going. Now he's famous for them. He makes something called pie bread, where he puts a whole pie into each loaf. It's cherry, peach crumb, Dutch caramel apple. I'm getting hungry again. But you can get a good breakfast there with eggs, bacon, sausage, potato, toast, $4.29. People flock in there. So meatloaf, Swiss steak. There you are, hearty food.
Now,
we took your advice and we got a baked apple pie or baked apple pie bread before we sat down because there were none left when we were going to pay for our bill.
Good thing you did.
Good.
Judy, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call very much. Oh, wow. You know, there's a story in here that in our Wisconsin, this late edition, that I didn't know. Well, there's a lot of things I don't know, to be perfectly honest. But Millie knew better. The expert said plastics couldn't be recycled, and a spunky woman from Sauk County proved them wrong.
Yeah, a spunky grandmother proved the experts wrong. Millie Zanto grew up on a farm during the Depression, and she learned never to waste anything. Now Millie's no longer with us. She died in 2014 at age 91, but she had quite an impact, being just somebody from around Sauk County, Wisconsin. And she was working as a volunteer for the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo, happened to take a trip to Japan while doing that. And she noticed how clean the streets were, and she noticed that they were setting out different items for recycling on different days, and the trash was taken care of very methodically and according to a system. And she wondered to herself, why aren't we recycling some of this stuff in Wisconsin? This was in the late 70s. There was not very much of a market for recycled plastic back in those days, and she was at the landfill watching rivers of plastic, milk jugs, et cetera, coming in there. And she wondered, why can't we do something about this? And people told her, forget about it. There's no market for it. Just let it go to the landfill. As her son Todd later said, if they told her she couldn't do something, she'd go ahead and do it anyway. So she founded, basically, the recycling movement for plastic in this country. And if anybody out there takes a look in their kitchen right now, pick up a piece of plastic, a plastic container from the store, and you'll see that little triangle underneath there with a number designating the type of plastic you're holding in your hand. Millie Zanto came up with that, and it's used worldwide since the late 1980s. The writer here said, well, Wisconsin has some towering giants in environmentalism and conservation, Aldo Leopold, John Muir, Gaylord Nelson. This little old lady from off a farm has reached worldwide with something that people are doing these days. And it could be argued her contribution is somewhere up close to some of these giants because it's ongoing, and there's plastic being recycled worldwide because of it.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. Sarah in Zion, Illinois, thank you for joining us. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Well, getting back to apples, I wanted to tell people about this apple orchard, which my sister and I discovered, oh, God, probably 20 years ago. Just we were out for a drive. Southeast of Lake Geneva, and we found this apple orchard on this little winding road with great big maple trees and nice wetlands. And we went there every year until my sister died, and I still go there. And they have a lovely little orchard, and the thing about them is that they have 50 to 60 varieties, but of course not all at once because, you know, some in August, some come in October. And they specialize in really old varieties. And so you can get things that you really can't get other places. And they do integrated pest management, so it's mm-hmm. like fewer pesticides mm-hmm. than some other places. And it's just a lovely place and delicious apples and nice people. And
What's the name of it?
Oh, I forgot. It's called Haste, H-A-F apostrophe S, Haste.
Haces or Haste?
Haste. Yeah, it's a weird name. It's the name of the road. They're on a road called Haste Road.
Oh,
and it's the address is Genoa City.
Well, thanks for calling. Mike, there's a potential story for you again.
Yes, there. And I thank you very much, Sarah. I'm here to tell you we've gotten many story tips through your listeners just from my being invited onto the show, and we do follow up on them. So I'm taking that down right now. And apples in fall, what can you say about them? They're huge around Gay's Mills. That's a wonderful orchard area. Obviously, Bayfield with the Bayfield Apple Fest coming up here shortly. It was just this past weekend. But have it every year, and you can still get some great apples up there. And also, again, at Gay's Mills.
Well, I thank you, Sarah, so much for calling. And you know, here we are about out of time, and I'm looking at your recipes for wild rice salad and barbecued wild duck and peppered corn fritters and creamy sprouts and noodles. Candy apple pie looks really good, too. Speaking of apples, all those things and more in this edition of Our Wisconsin. Well, the time flew by too fast, Mike. Boy, thanks so much for taking time to be with us. And, you know, we've got your site up, but what's your website?
You can check us out at OurWisconsinMag, MAG.com.
ourwisconsinmag.com, and we have a link on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. Mike, thanks again. Look forward to your next visit.
I'm looking forward to it too, Larry.
Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. They have an amazing circulation. They've been very, very successful. And it's always fun to talk about Wisconsin, and he comes by every couple months to do just that. Well, coming up tomorrow, Wisconsin author Kathleen Ernst is with us to talk about her latest mystery novel set in Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.